A church probably needs this sermon about once a year, as I'm thinking about it. We need this probably about once a year to just remind ourselves of this. And that's why this is one of our core values. And I'm going to give you a short sermon on this today. Amen? Amen. Right? You know what that means, right? I intend this to be short, but I got to go until I'm done, you know. But I don't think this is complicated, right? And I think this is something that if you've been in the church at all, you might be a little bit familiar with this. But this is a series I'm doing on our core values. And here at the church, we have a mission statement and five core values. And in the beginning of each of these sermons, I've been reading the mission statement and then we're covering a core value. So before we go into any of that, let's just pause and pray, and then we'll go through that. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time and place that we can gather. I thank you for our church body and family that we have here. Ask your blessing on this day that we would hear through your Spirit what you mean through these words of Scripture, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are part of our church family that have heavy hearts this morning, that are in need of your help and your comfort. I know that there are those that are out there today that are going through a difficult time. And so I pray for them. I pray you would strengthen them and equip them and give them hope and promise for the future and healing from the difficult situations they're facing. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's our mission here at the church, right? This is our mission. The mission statement is empowering people to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. And I've talked about this. We ourselves don't do the empowering, but God empowers, but he uses us to empower people in this way. But the idea is that what we want to do, what we want to focus on at this church is making disciples. So sharing the gospel with people, giving them the opportunity to be saved, to come to Jesus, to follow Jesus. And then when they learn about Jesus and they understand and they give their life to Jesus, that they become lifelong followers of him, lifelong students of Christ, you know, that seek to follow him and live the life that he wants them to live and live for him. Okay, so we would like to be used as a church to add disciples, to make disciples, to reach the lost, and to teach people to follow Jesus. Now there's a longer version of that. It says, we are called to reach lost and hurting people in our community and throughout the world with the life-changing gospel of hope that is found only in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. We will strengthen believers through biblical instruction, worship, fellowship and prayer, build them up to maturity in faith, hope, and love, equip them to serve God effectively, and send them out to reach others. And I think this is all what it looks like to be a disciple. To be a disciple. You come and you receive Christ, but then you live for him to make more disciples and to be sent out to serve him. So when we gather here, it's not like a spectator sport or a show or something like that that you're here to watch, but you're here to be strengthened so that you can go out and serve the Lord. Amen? And then as you think about it, you know, who needs the Lord? Well, everyone out there needs the Lord. That anyone, no matter how well they think they're doing, if they don't know Jesus, they're lost and hurting. And they need Jesus. They need to know about Jesus and they need to know what he's done for them. And so this also kind of describes, you know, how we do that, but we really want to do that based on teaching the word. We want to do that with authentic worship, you know, we want to do that with prayer. You know, these are the things that we do here. There's no new formula, amen, in church. There's no new formula. And if somebody says, oh, I've come up with a new growth strategy or a new way to do things, you got to be really cautious about those things because we stick to the old stuff, you know, which is Bible study and prayer, fellowship, you know, worship, these things as we do it. And so this kind of describes what we want to do and how we want to do it. So how many core values are there? Five that we have. Now, remember, I've also said this is, these are things that we in the history of this church have written about ourselves, telling us this is who we want to remember to be and to keep being. And these are good. They help keep us on track in that way, just like the mission statement. I would say the mission statement is, in a really simple sense, we want to keep trying to share the gospel. We want to keep trying to win people to Christ. And then once people come to Christ, we want to make disciples. We want to have them know how to walk with Christ. So that's called evangelism and discipleship. And so these core values also keep us on track on that. So we've covered three so far. Very quick review, just in my own words, about what those three core values have been. This is what we want to be as a church. Number one, we want to be a church that stands on the Word of God. Stands on the Word of God. Not what is popular thought in the world, not a new psychology, not anything like that, but a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church. Amen? Amen. So to stand on the Word of God. Now, if any of you aren't comfortable with me saying amen, what it just really means is, do you agree with this? Do you agree? And when people say amen, it's truly, truly, you know, for sure, I agree with that. So stand on the Word of God. First of our core values, in my own words, there's a much longer statement too. But the second one was that we want to continue to be a church that reaches out with the gospel. So a gospel outreaching church. And we're going to do that in a variety of different ways, and we're going to have different focus on how we do that. There are going to be some things that we're going to continue to remain committed to, like trying to reach the next generation for Christ. But we're going to keep doing that. And that's who we want to be. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do it differently. We don't want to just go into our own shell and just be about ourselves. We want to be a church that continually reaches out with the gospel. And we do that a variety of different ways. Number three, and this is from last week, and this is going to be very related to what we're talking about today. We want to be a church that continues to embrace diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. Now, the diversity that I'm speaking about is a little bit different than really what you hear about today, or at least what the emphasis is on outside of the church. But the way that I would describe this is, in this church or any church, in the church as a whole, what we want to see as Christians and what we will see and what really happens is people from every different kind of background, every different race, every different experience, you know, every different language, every different culture, every different country, people from everywhere, all types of walks of life. We got rich, we've got poor, you know, we've got people that are successful in the world's eyes, people that are struggling in the world's eyes, just any kind of people that you can have. Those people coming and believing in Christ and submitting to Christ and being united in Christ. Amen. Amen? So there's a diversity of every kind of person, but every kind of person coming and believing in Christ and submitting to Christ. That's where the unity is. So it's unity in Christ and unity in the Spirit. And that's what we believe here, and that's what we want to be. Now, the core value for today, I've called this participation in the body of Christ. Participation in the body of Christ. And this is what that core value says. Each believer has been gifted by God to serve others. Each believer's gifts are needed by the church family. We are not a church of spectators. We are a body in which each person has a necessary and significant function to fulfill and is participating in the work of ministry. We seek to help each believer discover and develop their spiritual gift in order to serve God effectively. Spiritual growth is important to all believers. Maintaining a high standard of excellence in all our ministries is our goal as we serve God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lay leadership needs to be multiplied, developed, and encouraged to meet the growing needs of the church. And I'm going to talk in a little more detail about the actual statement there at the end, but I want to get into Scripture, because what I ultimately do is preach Scripture, not something that we've wrote, but this thing that we've written is in response to Scripture and what we see in Scripture. So I want to make sure you understand the difference there. So there are some key passages in Scripture that would relate to this and talk about this. And this whole subject could also be called spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And so one of the main passages that you see about spiritual gifts comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I really honestly would like to go through the whole chapter with you, but I didn't, because I knew that might just be like a bit too much for today. So I cut it short, but there's still a lot here. But I'm not going to touch on everything. I'm not going to give you a real detailed sermon on this. In fact, I am certain that I will, and my desire is to someday come back and preach through 1 Corinthians. That's going to be coming some point. Not the next book I preach through. I already know what that's going to be. Okay, only a few of you know what that's going to be, and you can't tell the rest of the people, okay? All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I guess I would say in the background, you know, this is a church that Paul was writing to that was a pretty immature church. And they exercised a lot of selfishness in this church in many ways. And one of them was at communion. People would come to communion just to eat because they were hungry. They would come just to get drunk because they would drink the wine. And they would do these things. And there was a continual putting myself first kind of attitude in the church that Paul had to write and address. Now, one of the things that he had to address here in this church is that there was a strong desire to exercise spiritual gifts in a way that elevated the person and put the person above other people. So people wanted the really flashy spiritual gifts. They wanted to speak in tongues, and they wanted to do miracles, and they wanted to do prophecies, and they wanted to do things that put them out and made people think that, wow, this person is really close to God. This person is amazing. And this is in the context of really what Paul is addressing here in this. So this is just in the midst of it. But this also gives us some of the greatest understanding of spiritual gifts that we have come out of here and also Romans chapter 12. All right? So let's just dig into this, and we're gonna fly through this today, though, all right? We're going to fly through this, okay? Lord willing. But if I see something that I just got to do, I'm going to do it, all right? Just so you know, all right? 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Keep in mind, we've skipped some things in the beginning here. But it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." The physical bodies that you and I have, we have them, they're right here, raise your hand if you're here today. Okay, you're here today, you have a body. The physical body is a metaphor here of the church and the spiritual body that we are as the church. Now, the body that you have has a variety of parts. Those are what are called members here in this translation. The members, you have different things. Like I have this pinky finger right here. And I was telling somebody a story about this. When I first moved down to this church, we used to have a basketball ministry. Remember that, Ralph? We used to play basketball in the gym Thursday nights, I believe it was. One of those nights we were playing basketball, I fell down on my hand, and I felt a warm sensation shooting through my arm. And I looked down at my hand, and my finger was going this way. Just about like that. Almost a 90-degree angle. And I brought it in, and one of the guys here happened to have some medical training, and he told me to look away, and pop, he popped it back into place. And there was a pretty good reminder of that for a really long time, because I couldn't really clench a fist. I could only do like about that. But now I'm pretty good. I just have a little bit fatter pinky there as you look at it. But this is one of the members of my body that has a purpose, And sometimes you don't really think about it a lot until something like that happens. Then you realize, okay, you got this member of your body. But so we have these physical bodies, all these different parts that do all these different things for us. And it's comparing that to the church. So the church, when we come together, we're the body of Christ, and we have all these different functions and all these different purposes that are unique and different for us. And for us to be a healthy body and for us to be functioning exactly as we should, then all these body parts have a purpose and need to be working together. Amen? It's a great picture, so that's what it is. So in this body that we are, the church, because that's what we're called here, we're called the body, that's how it is with Christ, we're all different. And that goes back to what we talked about last week, how we need that diversity. We need that variety. And in this case, what we're talking about in specific is we need the variety in the spiritual gifting that God gives each person. Because he gives a different gifting to different people. Everyone doesn't have the same gift. And that's what we see here as we look at this. Going on in verse 13, it says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Again, in this body, you see two things. You see diversity and you see unity. Diversity and unity. You see all different types of people from different places, different backgrounds. You see them, but they were all baptized in by one spirit into the body. Okay. Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Yes. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been baptized into the body of Christ. You don't have to then later on go get baptized by the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. You have been baptized into the body of Christ. And so that is, no matter where you've come from, no matter what your background is, if you're going to be in Christ, it's going to be by one and the same Holy Spirit. And so we have that unity there in the Spirit. Now, speaking of this one body, because we're all baptized into this one body. And again, let me just go back. We're not talking, I'm not talking there about the physical baptism. That's really representative of this. This baptism I'm talking about is when you have new life in Christ. You have faith in Christ, you're born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ. And that baptism that we have, the physical act of baptism, is representative of the spiritual baptism that God has already done in our hearts. Okay, so we're baptized into this one body. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. You know, your body, your physical body, is not comprised of a bunch of pinky fingers, right? It's not just a whole bunch of pinky fingers. You only need two of those, right? There are two of those. You need all these other things. And in the same way, the church is comprised of people with all these different giftings. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. So basically what you got here is you got a foot that wants to be a hand and an ear that wants to be an eye. And it says, if I can't be that, then I don't belong. Right? And so typically my feet and ears and eyes and stuff like that, they don't talk to me like that. They don't do that. But I mean, it's the picture, right? But people can do that in the church. People can have the idea that, you know, if you're going to be part of the church, then you have to have this particular role or this particular function or this particular gifting and feel like you don't belong if you have something else. And this is going to give us a whole different picture about that. So as Christians, we should appreciate whatever gifting that God gives us, and we shouldn't compare ourselves to other people, and we shouldn't think, oh, we have to have one particular gifting to be part of the church. God has given you a particular spiritual gifting that's important and needed. And we're going to see that as we go. And whatever gifting you have, you are not less. None of us are less. Okay. If though, the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So again, the picture in the body, you need these things for these different functions. Just like that, you need your nose, man. You need your nose, don't you? Just on a good potluck morning, Easter Sunday, you come in here and you're like, did they make bacon? Yeah, there's bacon here. Okay, I see sausage. Okay, oh, did Melissa make those cinnamon monkey roll things that she does, whatever she calls them, like those? Oh, I think I smell them. Yeah, okay, they're here, you know. You need that. And also, you need your nose sometimes in other situations when your nose warns you, like, hey, something's bad. Like, this milk is rotten. Don't drink it, you know. Those things help you, you know. You need all these different things. And in the church, you have these people that you're going to do different things, and you need all of them in different situations, in different times, you know, in different places. So that's why God gives a variety of gifts. He says, but as it is, okay, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? There's a really key point there about all this is, whether you like this or not, you and I, none of us get to pick our spiritual gifting. God gets to pick that, and he does. And he makes us the way we are for a reason. And when we're talking about this spiritual gifting, we're not just talking about some talent or ability that you have or that you fostered and developed. But this is something that because you've believed in Christ and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, he's equipping you to serve him in a particular way, in a particular function. Okay? And so you have that. It's by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a spiritual gift. But with that, you and I don't get to pick. Like, we can't say, you know what I really would like? Listen, I tell you what, I would like the gift of healing. Amen. I would like the gift of healing. I would if just think this hypothetically. I'd say, I want the gift of healing. I sure need the gift of healing. I could think of so many situations that I could use it. But guess what? God didn't ask me for feedback on that. You know, there wasn't one of those like things afterwards after the prayer said, could you stay on the line for like a brief survey afterwards and we'll hear what you really want in your spiritual gifting? Okay? That wasn't what it is. So no matter what our spiritual gifting is, God assigns it to us. It's up to him. So you ought to not waste any time like looking around and thinking, man, I wish I was this or I wish I was that. You know, I mean, you can want to grow and you could want to develop and be used by God, but don't sit and think like, oh man, I wish I had that same experience that another person had to be used by God in that way or experience that spiritual gifting. That's actually immaturity of us when we think that way. All right, so we ought to realize, you know, God's made us a certain way for a reason. Listen, what if everyone came here on Sunday and everyone just wanted to preach? It's like, I'm going to preach. And there was like almost like an argument because people were trying to force their way up front to preach all the time. How would that go? Well, probably like a lot of you wouldn't really want to come to that church, really. Like it would be chaotic and problematic, you know, as you look at it. But I was just thinking, what if everybody was a preacher? Well, where would the nursery be? You have a trouble in the nursery, wouldn't we? You know, then the people with kids wouldn't come here anymore and the whole thing would unravel. You know, what if everybody just said, you know, the only thing that I do is work with kids and everyone just worked with kids. Well, then who would work with the adults? Amen? See, you need a variety of different things, you know, so we need that. But guess what? God is the one that decides what we're going to do and what we're going to be gifted at. He says, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This really speaks a lot to pride. Like, I think in our flesh, it could be easy for someone to look at their gift and say, yeah, I got the gift that's most important. In fact, I don't really need these other people because they're lesser and they don't do as much. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? That would be a sin. And that's what he's saying. The body, you can't do that. If one body part is missing, you really need that body part. You really miss that body part because the body parts depend on each other. And as a church, we're the same way. We depend on each other. And so there shouldn't be pride in that. There shouldn't be an idea that we don't need each other because we do need each other. We are dependent on one another because we're all part of the body. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. Now, this is talking about unpresentable parts or kind of hidden parts in your body, these things that, you know, you don't just kind of put out there or talk about a lot. So my question for you is, what are some seemingly weaker or unrepresentable body parts that are actually indispensable? Some of your body parts that, you know, maybe you, and you don't have to answer this question out loud, okay, all right? So just hold your thoughts to yourself. But, you know, some of your body parts that you depend on so much, they're so important to you, you don't really think about them a lot, you don't talk about them a lot, but you're really important to the overall function of the body. Okay, I got two for you that I picked. And what I want you to do with one of the discussion questions there is to go pick some more and think about some more, all right? And hopefully I pronounce these words right, you know, well, this one word right, but this is a word, and some of you will be familiar with this, and you'll say, oh yeah, that's an important one, okay? The vestibular system. Vestibular system. How many know what that is? Okay? You know what that is, okay? All right, that's a really important one. You don't talk about it. It's kind of hidden there. But what it is it's the part of your whole system up here, like around your ears and things, that senses motion and position and helps with balance. And I actually know some people at this church have had problems with that. And they've gotten things like, you know, they've had this strong spell of vertigo or dizziness or things that have built up in there. And that whole system gets thrown off and it's not working. You've never, like most of you probably have never actually really talked about that very much in your life. You just take it for granted until it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, then you just realize how important that system is in your lives. And that is a small part that we don't talk about, that we don't present to one another, that does a very important job for us. Amen? Okay, give you another one. Now this one fits with my illustration of smelling food. Have you ever smelled something good and all of a sudden your mouth starts getting wet? What do you call that? You're salivating just a little bit? You ever thought about the importance of your saliva glands? and how important they are. And actually, you don't probably realize how much saliva a person produces in a given day, but that is so necessary for eating your food, for softening your food, for digesting your food, for keeping your mouth healthy. Those are very important body parts. Without them, you could not be healthy and you cannot function well. And if those things aren't working, then they have to try to supplement them with other things and help you in other ways. But those are very, very important body parts that we have, you know, that do important things, okay? Now, I mention these things because it's the same way within the church. There are people and there are roles and there are functions that are hidden that aren't just right there in front of everybody, but they're really important and they're doing very important things. And that is what a healthy church needs and requires. Amen? Amen. Continuing, it says, "But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." So God is teaching us that every member of the body, different functions, but they're all equally important. There's no lesser part in the body. They're all equally important, and every part should be cared for the same way. Okay? God doesn't want us divided in that way. We want to have the same care. So it goes on and describes this in the next section, the next verse. It says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So picture that a little bit. What this is saying is we're all part of this one body, different parts, you know, so we don't do something like elevate this one part and say, okay, we're going to care for this part more than the other parts, but it's like every part in the whole body needs to receive the same care from the other parts of the body that this one well-known part receives. Amen? And that's what a healthy church functioning would look like. There's that care for everyone, for every single part of the body. Now, if it isn't clear enough that he's saying that we're the body of Christ, verse 27 says, "Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Again, a diverse body, a variety of functions, a variety of gifts, but united in one body with one purpose that we couldn't achieve on our own. Verse 28, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kind of tongues." So some certain gifts are mentioned here that he mentions, and in Romans 12, there's other gifts, you know, as you look at there in that, and there's a variety of type of gifts that are mentioned here. You see some things that commonly aren't thought of, you know, so a lot of times within this, there's big discussion on things like prophecy and tongues or whatever, okay, as you look at it, but you also see something here called administrating, the gift of administration within the body of Christ, the gift of helping, just coming along somebody and helping somebody. And so when we talk about, when we do go through 1 Corinthians or we talk about another place, we can have a pretty good discussion about, for instance, like the gift of tongues in that. But I'm focusing on kind of the big picture on these spiritual gifts, you know, as you look at them, that God gives them as he chooses, to he chooses, when he chooses, for a particular purpose for the body, and they're all important to the body. He goes on, he says this, "Are all apostles?" Now, you know what a rhetorical question is, right? These are rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So basically he's saying there is no one gift that everyone has. You know, everyone doesn't interpret. Everyone doesn't speak in tongues. Everyone doesn't have the gift of healing. That statement makes that completely clear, you know, as you look at that here. But he says, and this is going back to his correction for them, but what you need to do is rather than desiring a particular gift here of these, you know, that a gift, not just a particular gift, but a gift that makes you look better or closer to God or something like that, earnestly desire the higher gifts, you know, faith, hope, and love, you know, as he describes this as he goes through. So I think this is what we stand on. This is one of the passages that we stand on with this idea. Think about this. Some things about spiritual gifts before I go back and recap that. Okay, I think I've got maybe about 8 things here. Some of these we saw in that passage, some of them we didn't. We see earlier in the passage, or we see in Romans 12, okay? But I want you to think about this. Number one, God wants us informed about spiritual gifts. He says that in the beginning of the chapter. He doesn't want this to be something we're not informed about. So we should be informed about spiritual gifts. Amen? Amen. Number two, there are a variety of gifts. You know, we have that idea of diversity or variety. There's a variety of gifts. Everybody's got pretty much different gifting overall. But each and every gift is empowered by the one Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have that diversity and unity there. Now, how about this one? Number three, each and every believer has a spiritual gift or more. I could say that, you know, the a spiritual gift is the minimum side of it. But another way I might like to say that is each and every believer has a spiritual gifting. If you have God's Holy Spirit living in you, he also gives you gifts. And that was brought out in the passage when in this one passage that we read today, that we as believers, each one of us are gifted to serve the Lord. Number four, this is a very key one, okay? Spiritual gifts are for the common good. God doesn't give you or me a spiritual gift just to make us stronger. He gives us spiritual gifting to make the whole body stronger. Right? So the whole purpose of spiritual gifts is just not so you can be closer to God or you could feel better or something like that. It is so that you can build up your brother and sister in Christ. Number five, spiritual gifts are to be used. God doesn't give us spiritual gifts so that we can just like put them up in the closet and store them in there somewhere with the door closed, right? But it's so we can exercise and use our spiritual gifting that God gives us. Now, I want to say this isn't always easy because sometimes there are people like, I don't know what my spiritual gift is and stress about it and different things. Hey, listen, just get out there and try to serve the Lord and see how God makes you effective and where you're effective at serving the Lord. Like there are people like, my gift is leadership. God has given me the gift of leadership. And then it's like, well, who's following you? Well, no one. But I'm here to be a leader. So just put me in that position as a leader. You know, it doesn't work that way. I have also had people that are like, they had an idea that they wanted to do a particular thing, you know, and it's like, you don't hardly know that person. Like, well, why don't you start with this smaller thing and then build up to that? No. I got to do this thing. Okay, well, probably not going to do that here. Because you have to grow in that. We have to know you. You know, those kind of things, you look at it. But I think it starts, though, with a willingness to be a servant. Like we were talking about earlier, willingness to be a servant. Put yourself out there. Try to do some things. Learn about what your gifting is, you know, in that. But have that attitude that what God's given you, the person he's made you, he's in the gift he's given you, he's given it so that you can use that and you can serve him in the body. Amen? Amen. All right, number six. Again, I think I made this one clear. The gifts are given as God wills. Not as we will, but as God wills. So we need to embrace that and love that. Okay, number seven. Each gift is needed by the body. Every single type of gift, every gifting that's there, it's all needed by the body. And that goes back to that idea of participation. Like, we are here to participate together. Now, I had a thought about this while we were singing. I had a different picture in my mind today about our worship together. I think sometimes we come in here, and you don't have to admit this is you. I'll admit that I thought this way before. Like, you kind of have this idea that we come in here, and they're going to prepare some songs for us that are going to kind of help us to get in the mood to worship the Lord and to hear from the Lord. And they're going to kind of help us get ready, and we're going to kind of do that, and we're going to do that together. And then hopefully they've picked some good songs that work for us, and we do that, and we feel better. You know, this is kind of the attitude that we could have about this whole thing. And I was sitting there thinking about it a little bit differently today. I was thinking, wow, because I'm thinking about the sermon. This is a matter of participation. This is the body. So you ought to think about it more like this. At 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and soon after that, We are going to get together, all of us. We're going to have some people that are going to do some organization to help facilitate this for us. But all together, we as a body and a people are going to lift our voices up to holy God that we worship and we love, and we are going to come here together to worship Him together. And we're not depending on, you know, like, I hope somebody didn't know. We're going to make the very best of it, but we're going to worship God with all our hearts. And it's not a matter of somebody doing something for us. We've come to do something. Amen. We've entered the building to do something. We've joined together to do something. And we're going to worship God together. We're going to pour our hearts out to Him. Amen? Amen. Now, can we start with that song, to the last song we sing today? Could you remember? Like, if you think about it, who's part of the choir? Like, we're all the choir here. Amen. Who's the worship team? We're the worship team. You don't just come to watch. You come to participate. Well, what if you say, I don't like that song? Well, sing it anyways. Do it with all your heart. Like, ask yourself, you say, if I don't like that song, do I know that God doesn't like that song? Okay? And if it's like, well, that's not my style, or that's not my thing. Okay, it's not about you. But we're going to do our best to worship together. Sometimes in worship, there are important things we got to talk about, you know, lyrics and those kind of things. But what I'm just saying, come with that attitude that we are here together to worship God together Sunday mornings. Amen. And it's not a show. And it's not a concert. It's not anything like that. It is our time to worship together as a church body. And that's a matter of participation. And so we do that together, but then as you think about all the other things we do, your gifts are needed. This is a place to participate. Number eight, there is no common spiritual gift, like the one, you know, everyone has, you know. Some places will teach you, like, okay, everyone speaks in tongues, and if you don't speak in tongues, you just got to, like, work on it, and then you do it. No, I don't think that's what the Bible says. I'm pretty clear about that one thing, okay? There's no, like, low level, just basic spiritual gift that's there that everyone has to have there. Lowest common denominator kind of a thing. All right, let's get back to the recap on the our statement. All right, I'm only going to say a few things about this. All right, participation in the body. Each believer has been gifted by God to serve others, and each believer's gifts are needed by the church family. I think that is demonstrated in Scripture that we all are gifted spiritually, and God gives us those gifts for a reason as He chooses, and those gifts are for the common good. Amen. To build up the body. Okay? We are not a church of spectators, right? We're the worship team, we're the serving team, we're the team that comes together to roll up our sleeves and serve together. Amen? Now, how many of you want to go to a church where you just go in and just watch, you know, right? It's just like something that you just watch and you leave. It's some kind of show. I hope you don't want that. I hope you're like, I want to go to a church where I'm part of it and I'm serving, okay? Now, what does the church do anyways? This is a little bit of a side, but this is important. What does the church do? Because a lot of people, like, look at me preach and they're like, think, okay, well, maybe I got to preach, or maybe I got to teach a Sunday school class, or maybe, like, there's just these certain things. But that's just part of it. That's just a small part of what we do. But at the heart of what we do, I saw and I felt going on when my dad died. People sending cards, people praying, you know, people reaching out, people being there, people stepping up, like, in different ways. It's really, like, what it is, and the most, when you look at it, it's the people business that we're in by the glory of God and the grace of God and the good news of God together, that we serve God together. So, like, when you think about it, another thing you think about participation, you could come in here and you could be like, oh, well, I wonder what I'm going to get out of this service today. You know, I wonder if the message is going to be any good. Probably not, because it's not usually, you know. You know, okay, can't wait to go home and do this or that or whatever. But, like, if you think about it in the participation, if I say the work is the people business, to come in here and say, like, okay, who am I going to enter the room and encourage in Christ today? Who am I going to build up? Who am I going to help be stronger? Who am I going to meet in their moment of weakness and in their pain? Who am I going to meet? Who am I going to help lift up? Who am I going to help stop from, like, turning away from the Lord? You know, it's like there's so much work to be done here. Like, believe me, all I do is kind of stir the pot in some of these things and get you looking. I just get you looking at the Scripture. But then we as a body got to go out and live that and care for one another. Amen. We do that. And that's really the real work of ministry that we're doing, okay? So we are not a church of spectators. We are a body in which each person has a necessary and significant function to fulfill and is participating in the work of ministry. We seek to help each believer discover and develop their spiritual gift in order to serve God effectively. It could say gifts there, gifts, but whatever your gifting is, we want this to be a place where you can work on figuring out. We can't automatically tell you what it is, but you get to try some things here. But a lot of times you can also say, hey, what do you think my gifting is? And somebody else can say, well, this is what I see in you. And a lot of times they can see it better than you can see it. Amen? But we want people exercising those gifts here. Spiritual growth is important to all believers. Maybe that's Captain Obvious statement there. You know, one of those, you know, that absolutely, and that's what God is doing in us when we come to Christ. He's sanctifying us. And it says, maintaining a high standard of excellence in all our ministries is our goal as we serve God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, we want to do our best here at this, empowered by the Lord. But it says here, lay leadership needs to be multiplied, developed, and encouraged to meet the growing needs of the church. And just the way I would describe that is this idea of lay leadership, those are the people that aren't really hired to do the job, right? So you don't really have very many people hired to do the job here. You have me, you have some part-time people that do a few things. You know, we've got a preschool team, a wonderful team that does a lot of few things. We don't have a lot. But what lay leadership is that, again, that idea of every member here is a minister. Every person is in the ministry. And that lay leadership needs to grow and be stronger and serve God more and more effectively. You know what the truth is if I just didn't get up out of bed tomorrow, and I don't mean because I didn't feel like waking up, but I mean, let's just say that I was gone, that the things need to just keep rolling on in the Lord. Amen? The mission just continues to go. It's not resting on any one person. You know, when we lose loved ones and different things, we have great sadness in that because God did not make us to experience death. God made us for eternity, and he put eternity in our hearts. And we have a longing for eternity. And so there's nothing natural about death. There's nothing natural about death. But because of sin, we experience it, and we have experienced it, and we will. But in the midst of that, we continue to move forward as a church, right? And we don't depend on just any one person or any one people. And again, I have this strong thought of what we got to do here is we got to pass this church on to the next generation and the next generation after that. And if Christ doesn't come back before that, there'll still be people here preaching Jesus long after we're gone. Amen? Amen? And that doesn't start, again, with your hired pastor. That's with the body, the whole body, serving and using their gifts and what they do. Amen? Amen? Did that qualify as a short sermon? I hope so. Okay. I have no idea what time it is. Didn't time it. Anything. All right? Okay. But I hope that you leave here motivated. Motivated to serve Christ. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's pray. And as I'm praying, if the worship team wants to come on up, we'll close out. And we're going to worship with genuinely in this last song. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time and place. Thank you for each person who's here, Lord. I pray that you would teach us and equip us and grow us and strengthen us so that we can serve you effectively in all these ways that we talked about today. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, listen.